Thank you for listening to an audio resource from Stanwich Church, located in Greenwich and Stamford, Connecticut. The vision of Stanwich Church is to know Christ and make him known.
The epistle lesson for today is from Romans chapter 8, verses 12 to 17. This can be found on page 1122 of your Pew Bible. Believers who live by the Spirit are no longer slaves to sin, but children of God and heirs of his promise. A reading from Romans chapter 8, beginning with the 12th verse. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
God gave me and my siblings. Some of you know them, Jeff and Betsy Parkinson. They've been a part of Stanwich Church for over 30 years. And I have my mom's permission to tell you a little bit about the early days of her life. When she was just a baby, her father left their family, her big sister, and her mother. But even though she was very young, she was always sure that God had another father for her. And she remembers it was the prayer she would say every night on that first star she'd see. And it was the wish she had every time she blew out the birthday candles. And you know what? God answered her prayer. She remembers so clearly holding her mother's hand on one side and her new dad's hand on the other when she was 9 years old, walking down the hallway to meet the judge so that her adoption was official. And he was so proud to be her daughter. They were so close, and he gave her many valuable life lessons. He was kind, he was wise, and he had a wonderful sense of humor and a deep faith. He and my grandmother were very involved with a rural mission up in Maine. And my mother, when she got to be college age, would spend her summers working there. When my parents got married, my grandfather, known by his grandchildren as Bob Bill, mentored my dad and set him on the course for his future career. But even more than that, what Bob Bill did for my dad was he was the example of how to be a good father and a good husband. The inheritance of how Bob Bill lived, loved, and served have continued to ripple down and bear amazing fruit in our family tree. Now, you know, being adopted can change your life. You get a new name, a new family, a new inheritance. And when we think about the word inheritance, we often think about material or financial blessing. But actually, there is something even more important, a spiritual inheritance. And that is made up of our values, our priorities, and life choices. It's how we answer questions like, how do we treat others? How do we steward our time, talent, and treasure? And how do we practice our faith? Our kids are watching. Right now, Every person in this room is passing on a spiritual legacy to others, especially our families. I'm excited this summer about our sermon series. We're looking at the often neglected member of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. And we're looking at the work and the role of the Holy Spirit in transforming our lives and using us to transform the world. We are in the book of Romans today. Now, this is Paul's most comprehensive theology in all of his writing. And when Martin Luther read this letter, it changed his life. He learned that we are justified by faith alone. And what followed was the launch of the Protestant Reformation. Paul was writing in his day to a divided church in Rome, and he wants them to understand the core truths of Christian faith and practice so that they can focus on unity around the essentials and agree to disagree about the non-essentials. Paul highlights the Holy Spirit throughout the book, who reveals who God is, who we are, and what it means to grow in our life with God. If you'd read the section of Romans 8 before what we read today, three times it tells us the Holy Spirit is indwelling us. God is in us. And the Holy Spirit confirms that we are free from sin and we are God's adopted children with an incredible inheritance. Our opening verses for today talked about us not being debtors to the flesh, and by the Spirit, we can put to death the deeds of the body in order to live. Now, you might have found that a little confusing. I know I did when I first read it. So what I want to do is reframe it for you in the verse from the translation by Eugene Peterson called The Message. It'll come up on the wall, and let me read it to you. This is his retelling of those first three verses. So don't you see that we don't owe this old do-it-yourself life one red cent? There's nothing in it for us, nothing at all. The best thing to do is to give it a decent burial and get on with your new life. God's Spirit beckons. There are things to do and places to go. Isn't that fun? I love how he calls the flesh the old life. It's the old mindset. And we put it to death by the Spirit's power. Then we're getting to live out who we were made to be. And I want to unpack something here that's very important from this section. I want to look at what Paul is not saying about the flesh. He is not saying that our bodies are sinful. What he is saying is it's what we do in and with our bodies that is sin. In fact, what we realize is we are embodied souls. The flesh actually matters. And why do we know this? Because God himself came down and took on human flesh to dwell among us. The body and soul both matter. And ultimately, we will have, like Jesus, resurrection bodies. Now, so let's look at what Paul is saying. If that's what he's not saying, what is he saying? The word flesh can have different meanings. And here Paul is using it to refer to sin. He's asking the Christians in Rome and us today a very important question. Which life are you following? Are you following a life of the Spirit, or are you following a life of sin? Without Jesus, all of us are dead in our sins. None of us are perfect apart from Christ in us. Sin wants to make us slaves, but the Holy Spirit brings freedom and life. Now, our human nature is bent against God. And there's a riddle that describes walking with two large dogs in front of us on leash. And one dog is pulling to the left, and the other dog is pulling to the right. And the question of the riddle is, which dog is going to win and determine which direction you go? And the answer? It's the one that you feed. Now, let me tie that into our text for today. Are we feeding our old life, our flesh life. That's earthbound, power-seeking, finding a quick solution to solve a problem or to meet a felt need. Or are we feeding our spiritual life? And we do this simply by talking to God in prayer and listening for him, by reading his love letter, caring and serving for others, being grateful and praising God, even in difficult circumstances. These change our heart and our attitude. I know each week when I come into worship here, it doesn't matter what I brought in the room when I walk in that door. If I open myself up to the praise and the prayer and the worship and the word being preached and read and communion, God changes my perspective. I leave with God's eye view on a situation, not my own anymore. But I will say, as we're getting renewed, God has the ability then to do miraculous things in us and through us. But it does take perseverance. We are running a race with our eyes fixed on Jesus. We have a choice, but we can't do it on our own. So we need to ask that Holy Spirit to empower us to make the right choice, to guide and direct us. When we say, Lord, we are all in. Use us to do your work in the world. We're choosing that path, and we do so because we're remembering who we are to God and what he has for us to do. Now, in Jesus, we get a new identity from the salvation that he won. We become adopted sons and daughters. Let's look at our verses 14 through 17. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons and daughters of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Now we're going to take that apart a little bit. Adoption in ancient Rome is radically different than what we think of as adoption today. And we have to understand that to see what this text is really telling us. In Rome, it was a legal process where a man, often an adult, was incorporated into a new family as a son. Now, a natural-born child could be disowned for a number of reasons, but an adopted child who was chosen freely by the parents could never be disowned. Any past debts that child had were erased. They had a new identity, and now they had new rights and responsibilities. Inheritance for them was not something that happened after you die, but it was actually a part of life. So that meant that the child shares now in all of the father's possessions and in the father's position. Paul uses this term, adoption, to show us that God chose us. He erases our debts and gave us new work to do, to come alongside him in his mission. We are fully loved and desired, and we're taking on a new identity and inheritance with Jesus. Now, God is the perfect parent. Pastor Chuck and I were talking last week about how gender can be confusing when it comes to God. The Bible often uses father language for God because the people receiving God's word were living in a male-oriented culture where to be male was to be powerful. But in fact, as Chuck pointed out, Yahweh is declared as both father and mother throughout the Old Testament. God describes himself as the nursing mother, the birthing mother, and the one who comforts his people like a mother. And in Luke, we have Jesus describing himself as he looked out at Jerusalem, saying he wished to be a hen gathering the brood under his wings. Now, theologians all agree that God is never contained in gender. God is beyond gender. In fact, he supersedes it. Genesis tells us both male and female were made in the image of God. Or as Chuck said, God is the best qualities of male and female combined. I love that. So I want you to have that in mind because I believe there's true tenderness of this image where the Holy Spirit is calling out through us, Abba, Father. That word Abba means daddy in Aramaic. And it shows up another very important time in the scriptures. Jesus is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he says, Abba, Father. Paul is saying, we can communicate with that tender, intimate language, just like Jesus did with our Heavenly Father. For me, that name Abba brings to mind the image of a young child who's scared and who runs to take her daddy's hand. And maybe as a parent, aunt, uncle, or grandparent, you've actually had this experience at some point in your life when you were there for a child. Her distressed face is looking around for you. Once she sees you, she runs and grabs your hand, and then she looks up and smiles at you. And all the fear she had just melts away. And if you can imagine that scene with me, imagine your response. Your heart is full with the look of trust and gratitude in her eyes for you. And friends, that's the same look God has for each one of us when we turn to him in trust and gratitude. That's the tenderness of our true, perfect heavenly parent towards us. We all seek blessing and approval, but God is saying, you are what I wanted. I chose you. I delight in you. We can depend on God as a good father. When we recognize our need, he is ever ready to respond. God accepts our imperfections because he knows that Jesus won our forgiveness, and it's through him we receive abundant life. But there's more. Not only do we have a new identity, but we also have a purpose. We're heirs of our Father's inheritance, and the Spirit guides us as co-heirs with our brother Jesus, meaning ultimately we will rule and reign with him in the kingdom come. As adopted children, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, we share Jesus' glory, but we also must share his suffering. Suffering in this life is not optional. We have a lot of reasons for suffering. We suffer because of our sin, but we can also suffer because of evil ones and because of difficult circumstances, just as Jesus did. Following him changes us and our desire. And God loves each of us enough not to leave us where we are. And as we submit to him and deepen that relationship, the Holy Spirit has more and more control in our life. It's easier to follow the right path. And we get to share in his glory. You know, God wants to fill the whole earth with his glory, his splendor, and his power. I love the scripture that comes right after our reading for today in verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Sufferings, they're bad, but they're not worth comparing to the glory that is going to be coming. There is nothing we do to earn our adoption from God. It's totally a free gift from our adopted parent. But we do have a responsibility to honor the gift, to live into all that that means for us. We share this gift and live into it by our hospitality, our witness in our marriage, parenting, and friendships. Walking in the Spirit, we are given the power to do this like Jesus. I had the opportunity this week to see God's love and glory in action. And that is because I was just around the corner in Fellowship Hall looking out at our dear students that were in the summer adventure. You got to see them up on the screen there. And it was the closing session on Thursday. The pre-K leader, Danielle Kohlberger, who was the MC, was up there. And she said to the children, if any of you want to invite Jesus into your heart or maybe rededicate yourself to him, I invite you to come forward to the front of the stage and just to kneel down and we'll pray together. And I thought, wow, let's see what happens here. This is going to take a little courage, you know, the first one that gets up. And I wonder if it'll be one or two or three that go all the way up and kneel in front of the stage. And I watched what happened. The entire group stood up and went to the front of the stage. And here's a picture of it behind me. They all went right up. They all kneeled down. And you know what? They held out their hands. And they repeated the words after Danielle. And they invited Jesus loudly into their hearts. They received that gift gladly. They knew that they were God's children, and he was their loving Abba, who could lead them into a life that was far more than anything they could create or find on their own. But let me tell you the other blessing in that scene. This would not have happened this past week if it were not for all of the students and parents and adults who sacrificed a week of their life, who gave up time and talent in order to shepherd this young flock. They served, they played games, they taught scripture lessons, and they sang to the glory of God. They were living into their identity and their purpose in Jesus. And as they did so, they were revealing Jesus. They were knowing him and making him known. So what I want to do as we end for today is to give us space to pray to God, our Abba. And I'm going to begin with about 30 seconds of silence. And I want to do this because I want to remind you, if you don't know this yet, the Holy Spirit is ready every day to show up in your life and to speak to you if you listen for him. So we're going to take 30 seconds, and I want you to just ask, Holy Spirit, what do you want to reveal to me today? And then I will close us in prayer. So let us pray. Holy Spirit, thank you for meeting with us here today. Abba, Father, as your children, we come to you through your Son, Jesus, who died not just for us, but for the whole world. Thank you for knowing us, loving us, and wanting us. You are our protector. You bring peace and blessings into our life. Deepen our trust and confidence in you. Give each of us a childlike faith. By your Holy Spirit in us, help us know how beloved we are to you. Walk with us today. Lead us into more freedom and joy that comes from being rooted in the security of your love. In Jesus, our brother's holy name, amen.
To learn more about the mission and vision of Stanwich Church and how you can get involved, please visit stanwichchurch.org.